Baz and AJ in the morning.
President Trump is looking to loosen the social distancing, requests.
Okay.
Right? We're not forced, but we've been requested to kind of stay away from one another.
Exactly right, yeah.
I want to bring Dr. Ron Clark on here to talk about this. Are we ready for that?
I don't think we're ready for that just yet in our neck of the woods, Chaz, particularly with New York being so close to us and us having, you know, more than 600 cases in Connecticut. I understand the president's concern with, you know, wanting the economy to get back up and running. But at the same time, the social distancing and the hand hygiene that we've been talking about is the most important thing that can avoid the spread of the coronavirus. And again, everybody keeping home and keeping to themselves is one of the best things that we can do to allow the virus to blow through Connecticut and not impact us. And, you know, New York is the hardest hit part of the country right now. It is, you know, our neighboring state and is right next to us. There's more than 25,000 cases in New York, with more than 15,000 right in New York City. And again, they're, you know, when I'm listening to Governor Cuomo in New York talk, that, you know, he's requesting ventilators from all kinds of other states and for, you know, federal assistance and all these things. Connecticut is part of that wave as well. And although we have less cases than them, we do have more than 600 cases. We have about 618 cases right now in Connecticut. And I can tell you, being part of the medical front end providers that are seeing patients and gowning up, going into every room now, you know, everything with the coronavirus has changed on a daily basis as far as what the information is, what the risk is. You know, initially it was respiratory difficulty, it was coughing and things like that that we were worried about. We were worried about travel from international places. Now it's, you know, in Connecticut, and now they're, some of the risk factors now are abdominal pain and diarrhea. That's a lot of patients that I take care of, and we've had some positives that have only had abdominal pain.
Really?
So the disease is morphing, and it's in, you know, I look at it as this invisible threat that's out there, but the best thing that people can do is stay home. You know, as I talked to you about before, Chaz, those worried well, those people that don't need it to be in the emergency room should not come to the emergency room, should not go outside unless it's absolutely necessary. And again, the social distancing is how we allow this virus not to spread. If we're all in the same place, like what happened in New York City with, you know, people being together, it spreads like wildfire between people. And you know, so I think that one of the best things we can do is socially distance and just let the storm blow through.
Are you saying that this thing is morphing and changing, or you're recognizing that other things coming into the emergency room are related to this?
We're recognizing that other things are related, and we're recognizing what we didn't know a few times ago when I talked to you, Chaz, is that now, you know, a lot of these coronavirus patients have GI symptoms, abdominal pain, diarrhea. I mean, these are common things. I take care of, you know, just myself, 5 or 10 people a day with those exact symptoms.
Wow.
And that's before the coronavirus. And
so now these people need to get tested. So now you need even more tests.
Yeah, exactly. And we're testing as much as we can. Again, at our hospital system in general in Connecticut, the people who come to the ER to get tested are those that are admitted, and they're tested for the reason to identify those that have coronavirus and also isolate them from the other patients in the hospital. Remember, when I'm working in a day in the emergency room, there's coronavirus, but there's also all the other people that, right, I take care of on a daily basis, those chest pains and strokes.
How,
and all the other people that come in.
Right. Compared to a normal, not that there's normal, but a typical day at the ER, how has your business increased or your traffic?
So the traffic is down in general. That the amount of people that are coming to the ER is less than it has been for any time in my career, actually. But those that are coming in, there are two sets. There are those that come in that are very sick, that have their normal appendicitis, their congestive heart failure, their stroke, their heart attack. And there's the population that's coming in with respiratory difficulty, coughing, fever. Some of those people are the respiratory distress, the very sick ones that are going to get admitted. And some are still the people that just want to get checked out and feel like they're kind of anxiety and just stressed out. They want to get checked out by a doctor to make sure that their oxygen's okay and those kinds of things. And it's that second group that does not need to be in the ER, those
right,
worried well that need to stay home, Chaz. I'm telling you, I have kids at home just like a lot of other healthcare providers. And, you know, The ones that need to be there, come in. But the ones, if you're fine and you can breathe fine and you're just a little achy or maybe a fever and a mild cough, those people need to stay home, because coming out into the healthcare setting with all kinds of other patients with chronic medical conditions, they can wipe out people. And even if they feel fine, it's going to be wiping out the other people who have worse medical problems than they do.
I think people are starting to feel like, you know, it doesn't seem like as bad as they said it was going to be.
Right, yeah.
Maybe we could start going out. And the economy really sucks. Maybe we just go out,
yeah,
right?
A little bit.
All you have to do is look at what's happening in New York. It is a horror movie. They're setting up makeshift morgues.
Really?
Exactly. It's terrible. I have friends who work in the New York health system, people I train with in residency, and it is awful. I mean, there's stories and anecdotal situations where people are, you know, intubating people in the hallways, and that, you know, they're running very low on the ventilators. I mean, the governor.
They have patients laying on the floor.
Wow.
In the hallway.
Wow.
In the hallway, that they're running out of space. I mean, they have capacity, and they're trying to increase the capacity, increasing the beds, increasing the vents, increasing the ICU beds for those that are sick. And again, their wave is a lot higher than ours right now, but they are right next door. I mean,
right.
That's them today. So then what's my fear is what's us 2 weeks from now. And again, we don't know how high our wave's going to get of patients. And, you know, I'm taking things a day at a time. I work most days, and, you know, we're set up I'm one of the administrators in my emergency department. We're setting up backup systems so that, you know, if some of our healthcare providers go down, there's others to take those spots. And again, we just don't know how big this wave is going to get. And again, I never want to create panic on your show. I try to be calm in situations, but I also want to make smart choices, and I want my hospital system to prepare for the worst. That's part of emergency medicine. You always prepare for expect the unexpected and prepare for the worst. If it blows through in a couple of weeks and we are lucky to have few deaths, then that's a good thing. Right now, I think we're at 12 deaths in Connecticut. At the other side of that is we may have a big wave that comes through that overwhelms the system. And again, we're trying to ramp up everything that we can do to increase the capacity at Hartford HealthCare, and all the other hospital systems in Connecticut are doing the same thing. They're trying to ramp up the capacity to take care of patients. But the best thing that people can do is socially distance themselves. It's better for themselves so they don't get exposed to the virus. It's also better for others, so you may have the virus and not know it.
Yeah.
And, you know, spread it to somebody else. And again, if we all spread out, I know you were talking about schooling and stuff. You know, my kids are out of school. People are home from work. I know that's very frustrating for people. This is a very serious disease. And again, I'm not panicking. I'm just telling you that it's
right. Serious. We don't need to go hoard groceries because the supply chain is not broken.
Yeah, they keep it
But
open.
If you look at New York, and I did the same thing you did, Doc. I watched the press conference in New York City last week and every day since. And they're talking about, we're setting up hospitals, we're getting FEMA in here, Army Corps of Engineers, we need this, we need that, we need this.
Yeah.
And then you go to how Connecticut's reacting to it, and it's almost like, hey, how's everyone doing?
How you doing?
Yeah. This is great. We're not preparing, and I think that Connecticut could potentially get hit pretty bad if we don't do the right things now.
Right.
Exactly. We've got to spread out. We've got to socially distance. And as a side point, something interesting about the coronavirus is the fact that some people are losing their sense of smell and taste.
I heard that. So that's
very interesting. Yeah, Rudy Gobert, who's a center for the Utah Jazz, he's one of my favorite players in the NBA, he lost his sense of smell and taste. And they think that with the coronavirus in certain pockets, particularly in the mildly ill patients, sort of the younger, mildly ill patients, for some reason it affects their sense of smell and taste. There's something new literally every day about this virus that we find out.
All right. So let's keep doing what we're doing here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And definitely
not panic,
socially isolate.
Concerned.
Yeah, just socially isolate, Chaz. And just, you know, the listeners need to stay to themselves. Listen to you on the radio. This is perfect. This is what, you know, this is a good start to the morning. Everybody spread out, and listening to you on the radio is the way to go.
Right. We're all in different studios as well.
So. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Nobody come in here.
Mine smells funny.
Dr. Ron Clark, thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
You guys have a great day.
Right, you too.
You.
Just so you know, he's Today's his day off.
Is it? Wow.
Imagine running an ER, having a day off, and then someone texts you and said, hey, can you come on tomorrow at 6 a.m.?
Sure.
6 a.m.
No
yeah.
problem. Sure.
He's like, absolutely.
Yeah, he's cool.
Oh, I love that guy.
He's the best.
Jazz and AJ in the morning.